All right, Ephesians chapter 2.
Now, I know that most of you are very familiar with the scripture, but contrary to the world's philosophy is this: familiarity breeds contempt. And they may have a point there in some areas. But familiarity with God's Word breeds confidence and assurance and hope. The better you are acquainted with His Word, the more confidence and assurance and hope, better hope you'll have. And I'll preach this morning from this text, Ephesians 2, and the Lord willing again tonight. And this morning I have a very simple outline. First, what we were.
Not some of us. All of us.
What we were. Dead.
Dead.
In trespasses and sin. And secondly, what God has done for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. We were dead,
but God.
It's not but we, but God. The disciples said, Lord, who can be saved? He said, with men, impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
And then the third point of the message is what we are now.
What we are now
and shall be.
I've occasionally met people who
are offended by that song
that we sang a few moments ago.
Only a sinner
saved by grace. They resent being called sinners because now they're saved and not sinners anymore. But if you'll turn to Matthew 10 for a moment, I'll give you a good scriptural reason for calling yourself what you were.
When God saved Matthew, who wrote this book, Matthew's Gospel, whom God used to write it,
when God saved Matthew, he was a worthless publican,
a tax collector,
a traitor to the Jewish nation who worked for the Romans.
He actually worked for the enemy.
You used to call them Quislings in World War II.
Worked for the enemy.
Well, when Matthew named the 12 apostles, he came to his own name.
I want you to see how he referred to himself.
Now, this is after the Lord called him, made him an apostle, gave him the gospel.
Now, listen to Matthew 10, verse 2.
He's writing himself.
Now the names of the 12 apostles are these.
The first is Simon, who's called Peter, Andrew his brother,
James the son of Zebedee, John his brother,
Philip Bartholomew,
Thomas, and Matthew the publican.
He didn't call the rest of them publicans.
He didn't call the rest of them sinners, but he knew what he was.
He knew what he was. And he said, Matthew, incidentally, the publican. Now saved, but like Paul said, Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief. All right, let's go to our text. What saved by grace. What first, what we were.
He says in chapter 2, verse 1, and you
hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Not physically dead. Not physically dead. But worse, dead spiritually. Verse 12 sums it up. Look at verse 12 of this same chapter. Verse 12 says, at that time you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope. No hope. And without God. Without Christ, without hope, and without God. Dead in trespasses and sin. Now, how did we get in this mess? God didn't create us dead. How did man get in this mess? God created man. The scripture says, and he created man, male and female, in his own image. And he said, good. And Solomon wrote, God created man upright. Upright. But man sought out many inventions. Well, how did we become dead? Not physically, but spiritually dead, separated from God. Well, let's go back to the beginning and see. I think to find out how to understand spiritual death, we're going to have to read when and where it happened. In Genesis 3, Genesis 3, a man created in God's image, upright, without sin, holy. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Lest you die. A spiritual death. And the serpent said to the woman, you'll not die. God doth know in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, the tree to desire to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were open. They knew they were naked. They were naked before and didn't know it. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. They didn't hide from God before. They weren't afraid of God before. And the Lord God said, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid. Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee, thou shalt not eat? And the man said, the woman thou gavest me, she did gave me the trees, your fruit, and I did eat. You see, Adam and Eve didn't die physically. They lived on 700-800 years, but they were dead spiritually. Dead spiritually. Now, how did that affect us? Well, turn to Romans 5. The life of God left them, the life of holiness, eternal life, spiritual life, divine life left them. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, now listen, wherefore by one man, as by one man, sin entered this world. That was when Adam defied God, disobeyed God, the representative, the one man God created, the federal head of all men, the root and seed of all men. By one man, sin entered this world, and death by sin. So death, at that time, passed upon all men, for all sin. That word have can be left out there, because in Adam we fell, in Adam we sinned, in Adam we died. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. Very strongly, 1 Corinthians 15. It says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, 21. Since by man came death, by man came the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die. All die. Now, we need to understand there are different kinds of life. The different kinds of life. And this is helpful. It helped when I first understood this or saw this. this illustration to help me. You see, there are many kinds of life. There's a life, there's mineral life, there's plant life, there's animal life. All those things live. The plants live, the minerals have energy, and plants live, and animals live, and human beings live. But there's a spiritual life. There's a life of God. There's this divine life. When God created Adam in his image, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He became a living soul, made in the image of God. He had physical life and divine life. He walked with God. He didn't know any sin. He didn't know any fear or shame or nakedness or anger or hatred. He didn't know those things. He couldn't lie because he was holy. He couldn't hate. He didn't know anything about it. But he lost that life, that divine life, the life of God. He died. He was flesh. He thought like a fleshly person now. And that's what it says we were in our text. You have to quicken who were dead. Trespasses and sin. There's this world out here that's dead in trespasses and sin. All right, let's move on in our text. What we were. We were dead, and then verse 2, we walked. Where in times past we walked. We walked physically, and we walked mentally, and we walked emotionally. We walked according to the course of this world. What is a person's walk? A person's walk is the tenor of his life. The bit of his will. It's what he is. It's a continuous path, a direction, a practice. And we have two terrible guides. Listen, we walked according to the course of the world. The world dictated to us our walk. We tried to please the world, and the world pleased us. We walked according to the world, and then our other guide, we walked according to this world, and we walked according to the prince of the power of the earth, Satan. He was our influence, our motivator, the world and Satan. And God said, he looked down on men, he said this in Genesis 6, verse 5, before he destroyed the world in the flood. He said, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. Continually. Psalm 14, you do well to turn to this. Look at Psalm 14. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, no God. No God for me. They're corrupt. They've done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. The Lord God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Can the leper change his spots? Can the Ethiopian change his skin? That's what Jeremiah asked. Well, no, that's his nature. His spots on the outside because of the spots in his nature. The Ethiopian is black on the outside because that's his nature. Neither can you and I do good that are by nature sinners. We were dead, we walked, motivated by the world and the devil. And look at what he says about this, the devil. It says in verse 2, he's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The same Satan that motivated that man to go in the church. Now, you came in the church this morning to worship God. He came in to kill down in Texas. He came in with guns and ammunition to kill people. to spew out hatred for God and people who worship God. What motivates him? Satan. The same spirit that works in the heart of that man was the spirit that was in our hearts before God saved us. That's what it says. It's we walk, verse 2, in times past, according to this world, according to the devil, the spirit that even now works in the children of disobedience. Among whom, and what's it? We were dead, we walked according to the world and the devil. And listen, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling. We fulfilled. What did we fulfill? Having no spiritual life, having no heavenly guide, having no path of righteousness, we gave in. We gave in. We fulfilled. We gave in to the lust of this flesh, the desires of this flesh, the contrary thoughts, the wicked thoughts of these minds. We just gave in to them. Gave in to them. Gave in to them. Had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling, giving in to all these wicked desires. And listen, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Preacher, I've heard you often say that God loved his people from the foundation of the world. And quote Jeremiah 31, I've loved you with an everlasting love. With loving kindness have I drawn you. What does this mean? We were, by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. How can God always love us and yet us be under his wrath? Two words. Listen. By nature. By nature. We were children of wrath by nature. By conception. By birth. By nature in Adam. We were with the whole world under the judgment of God. Under the wrath of God. All sons of Adam. And the other two words is in Christ. And we need to learn where the love of God is. Turn to Romans 8. We need to learn where the love of God is. Got to learn where the wrath of God is. It's in nature. It's in Adam. The wrath of God is in Adam. In Adam all die. In Christ, God loves people. Now look at Romans 8, verse 38 and 39. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's where God's love is. That's where God's mercy is. That's where God's grace is, in Christ. This is talking about what we were by nature. Because of the fall of Adam, we were dead in trespasses and sin. No spiritual life. No desire for God. We walked. Motivated by the world and the devil. Giving in to the things of this flesh and this mind. We were by nature with the whole world under the wrath of God. Under the judgment of God. That accounts for God destroying whole nations. You read in the Old Testament, God, through Israel, destroyed whole cities. Take Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroyed the entire city. The only people that were delivered from Sodom was Lot and his two daughters. The rest of them, infants, young children, young people, middle-aged, old people, were consumed by the wrath of God. The nature of sin and evil, God hates. God hates the workers of iniquity. God's angry with the wicked.
And when we were considered only an atom, we were under the wrath of God. Now, when God considers us in Christ, through a covenant of mercy, gave us out of Adam's race, out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven, gave a people to Christ and put them in Christ in purpose, in promise. He loved them then because of Christ. You see that? That's what he says. We were by nature, by conception, by birth, by identification with Adam, children of wrath. But in Christ, sons of God, loved with an everlasting love. That's covenant mercies. Covenant mercies. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15 again. Let me show you this in verse 47 and 48 and 49. 1 Corinthians 15. Covenant mercies. In 1 Corinthians 15, 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. Nothing but earth. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. That's what we were by birth, earthy. And as is the heavenly Christ, such is they that are heavenly. As we're born in the image of the earthy. And God can't love the image of the earthy and be God. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Covenant mercies and grace. All right, let me move on. Chapter 2 of Ephesians. What we were. Dead in trespasses and sin. Walked according to the course of this world, the motivation of Satan. Fulfill the lust of this flesh and desires of this mind. We're by nature under the wrath of God. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. Why are you not under that curse? You haven't fulfilled all things written in the book of the law. You're in Christ. That's the difference. By nature, wrath, in Christ, love. Now what God has done, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy. My friends, God is sovereign, almighty, majestic, sovereign. God is holy. God is just. Truth and verity, judgment, justice, are his kingdom. God is righteous. But God, the scripture says here, is rich in mercy. Mercy is an attribute of God just like his holiness. Justice is an attribute of God, but mercy is an attribute of God. Grace and mercy and love. Turn with me to Psalm 130. This is what David is saying. Psalm 130, God who's rich in mercy. God's rich in holiness and righteousness and justice, but he's rich in mercy. In Psalm 130 it says, out of the depths, and that's where we cry from, isn't it? Out of the depths, have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ear be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who would stand? What gives David the idea that such a God would hear him? God considered in his holiness and majesty and justice and truth. Why would he hear somebody crying out of deadness, walking according to the course of this world, fulfilling the desires of the mind, by nature children of wrath? What gives David the idea that God even hear him? Listen. Well, there's forgiveness with thee. There's forgiveness with thee. That thou mayest be feared and worshipped. Forgiveness. God delights to show mercy. God is plenteous in mercy. He said, I will be merciful. And so our text says, But God, who is rich in mercy, listen, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Where? In Christ. He loved us. Three marvelous facts. He loved us. Eternally, unchangeably, infinitely in Christ. He loved us even when we were dead in sins. He quickened us together. I told you to watch these three words, this word used three times. But God, who is rich in mercy, by his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, in this terrible state, he quickened us together with Christ. Together with Christ, by grace you're saved. Raised us up together with Christ and made us sit together with Christ in the heavenly places. Why? That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus. Not because of anything we've done. He's not going to show the marvelous works we've done. He's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, in closing, what we are now. Number one, verse 8, we're saved. By grace, by the free grace of God, by an act of God, by the mercy of God, by the death of his Son, we're saved. Now that word saved has fallen into bad company. It's like the word Christian. It's fallen into bad company. It's used meaningless, carelessly, saved. So people go, are you saved? I'm saved. I mean, when I got saved. What does the word saved mean? You who are dead are now saved. Well, the word saved means delivered. That's what the word means, saved, delivered. When a person is drowning and he's brought out of the water, he's delivered. He's delivered from the danger. He's delivered from the water that was taking his life. He's delivered from the prison of the sea or the river. He's delivered. And that's what the word means. You turn to Colossians chapter 1. I'll read you several verses. The word saved means delivered. Colossians 1, verse 13. Listen. First, let's read verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, who hath made us qualified, made fit, sufficient, to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, because he hath delivered us. He hath delivered us. He delivered us. I didn't got saved. I didn't save myself. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness, from the power of death, from the clutches of Satan. He hath literally saved us. He's literally translated us, delivered us from that kingdom of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his Son. We're out of the clutches, prison house, darkness, bondage, kingdom of Satan. He's delivered us. So when you ask somebody, don't ask somebody you say, ask them, have they been delivered? And they'll say, delivered from what? And then you tell them, what salvation? They're delivered. It's not to change you. A few customs and habits and traditions. It's not to align with a church. It's to be delivered. Turn to Job 33. This is awesome over here. Job 33. Say, he hath delivered us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his Son. Made us meet sufficient to walk into glory. You know, we tell people dying and they're going to walk into glory. Walk into glory? Are those gates going to open for you and me who are dead? Who walk according to the world? Who fulfill the lust of the flesh? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. You go in with him, in him, through him.
Listen to Job 33, verse 22. His soul draweth near to the grave, his life to the destroyers. Oh, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter. You know, I got to thinking, that'd be a good thing to call a pastor, an interpreter. That's what John Bunyan called him, wasn't it? His pastor was his interpreter. He went to the interpreter's house, didn't he? Interpreter. Is there an interpreter? That's what Christ is. He's a preacher. One of 1,000 to show unto man his uprightness. Whose uprightness? God's uprightness. Christ's righteousness. Is there an interpreter? Is there one among 1,000 who will show these men the righteousness of God? Deal him, if there is. He's gracious unto him and says, deliver him. Deliver him from going down into the pit. I found the ransom. I found a ransom. I found an atonement. Is that in your Bible in the center? I found an atonement. Deliverance. For one reason, I found a ransom, an atonement. And then his flesh should be fresher than a child's. And he'll return to the days of his youth. And he'll pray unto God, and God will be favorable to him. And he shall see his face with joy, and he'll render unto man his righteousness. Oh, my goodness, listen. He looketh upon men, and if any of them will say, I've sinned, I'm dead, I've perverted that which is right, profiteth me not, he'll deliver his soul. He'll deliver his soul from the pit, and his life shall see the light. The word saved, by grace are you delivered. Delivered. Another word it means is redeemed. Did you know there's a price on our heads by nature? Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. You go down to the post office, used to, not now. They don't have those posters anymore, do they? I used to go to the post office down in my little hometown, and I'd read these wanted signs. All these little fellas' pictures there, you know. Wanted for murder, wanted for theft, wanted for something else. Pictures. The law wanted them. The law had a price on them. You and I were wanted by the law. But God sent a redeemer. And he paid all the debt. He paid all the debt and set us free. So we're saved. We're saved. That's what we are now. We're saved by grace. Verse 8. Not of works. Verse 10. What are we? We're saved and we're his workmanship. We're his workmanship. We're his creation. When you say a person's workmanship, it's their creation. They didn't create it out of nothing. But they took the things, the different products, and they put them together. And that's some creation, like a flower design or something like that. That's a person's creation. Well, we're his creation. That's right. We're God's creation. And I can explain that this way. But that which is born of the flesh is flesh. A mother gives birth to a child who's the seed of a father, and he bears the likeness of his father, nature of his father. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that baby has ears and eyes and a heart and a will and a mind. But this creation of God has an ear, a hearing ear. The hearing ear is of the Lord. The seeing eye is of the Lord. The believing heart is of the Lord. The willing spirit, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, that's of the Lord. The obedient walk, we walk, he leadeth us in paths of righteousness. So this whole new person is the workmanship of God, the creation of God. He had ears, but he didn't hear. He had eyes, but didn't see. He had a will, but it was perverted. He had a heart, but it was deceitful. He had a walk, according to the course of this world. But God made him new. And the hearing ear, and the seeing eye, and the willing spirit, and the believing heart, and the righteous walk is of the Lord. His, see what I did, see what I made. You don't give that credit to who led me to Christ. No human being led me to Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came and found me and called me and created me a new creature in Christ Jesus. To him be the glory. We've got this thing all backwards. We're his workmanship and we're created, in this case, out of nothing. And we're created on two good works. One time, we walked motivated by two, the world and the devil. Now we walk motivated by two. Who are they? The Word of God and the Spirit of God. Not the Word of the world, and not the Spirit of Satan. But this new man walks motivated by the Word of God, the will of God, and by the Spirit of God. That's right. We're his workmanship, created under Christ Jesus, unto good works which God has ordained that we should walk in. Ordained it. He's ordained it for three reasons. Number one, that our faith be confirmed. Faith without works is dead. The confirmation of faith is godliness. That's right, godliness. A godly will and a godly walk, that's the confirmation of faith. We know we've passed from death into life because we love the brethren. That's how we know. That God has ordained that we walk in righteousness and holiness to confirm our faith to us. Secondly, to confirm our faith to others. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you love one another. See what I'm saying? God's ordained that we walk in his will to confirm our faith to us and to others. And thirdly, that his purpose and will might be accomplished. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. As my Father sent me, I send you. And he that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth him that sent me. And by your preaching, God hath chosen to save those that believe. So ordain the good works to confirm our faith to us, to others, to accomplish his purpose. By grace, you're saved. All right, I hope that's a blessing to you. Let's sing number 332. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. The Lord willing, I'll tonight pick up at verse 11 and continue this message.